You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art and Soul. This week, Art and Soul is about the culinary arts. So happy to welcome Jessica Webster, whom you likely hear every Sunday afternoon hosting The In Crowd here on WEMU. She's also a writer and food expert. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Lisa Berry.
Speaking of food experts, we're delighted to be joined for this segment by John T. Edge, director of Southern Foodways Alliance, author, former columnist for The New York Times, winner of 3 James Beard Foundation Awards. Thank you so much for joining us.
I love being with you.
You know, John, I've been a fan of yours for some time, and I've read your hamburger book and your fried chicken book. And, you know, doing a little research, I realized that you're not just a food writer. You've written extensively about the South, travel guides and other things. When you think about who you are and what you do, would you say that you're an historian first or a food expert first?
I my background is out of the academy. I got a master's degree at the University of Mississippi in something called Southern Studies. So I was trained and as a writer have learned to take all these different inputs from art, from music, from literature, and certainly from history to think about my region. So I'm not an historian, but I, you know, I sample history to tell stories about the region from which I hail.
Which do you like better, food or history?
I do a lot more research in the library than I do at the table.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are you located right now? Where are you?
I am on the campus of the University of Mississippi in a building built in about 1857. I can barely look out my window because the leaves are in such eruption with flowers. It's a great day. It's about 70 degrees. It's perfect.
Oh, well, that sounds nice, yeah. Especially because, you know, here in Michigan, this week has been filled with a lot of rain. But, you know, we'll try to clear that up before you come to town. I understand that you're going to be one of the speakers at Zingerman's annual Camp Bacon.
I am indeed. It's been a long time since I've been up there. I went up there for the very first Camp Bacon and have not been back. So I'm excited to return. My wife went to the University of Michigan for grad school, so she'll come
Go
with
Blue.
Me, and she's excited, too.
Oh, that's great. I was looking at the talk that you're giving, and it seems to be right up your alley. It talks about, obviously, because it's your talk, but the power of narrative and its effects through the lens of culture and food. And I wonder if you could give us a little kind of, can you interpret that for us and tell us what
Sure.
kinds of things we would expect to hear?
I mean, we shape our lives by the stories we tell about who we are, about who we meet along the way, about our families, and sure, about the food we eat and the events at which we eat it. What I want to point out to people is that more important than how great the bacon even will be at this event are the stories that are conjured forth when we sit at table. That's what we really value. It's the human connection across the table. It's the memories that food stirs. And it's, you know, what charms us, sometimes what angers us, those are what we carry away from the table. And so I'm going to tell kind of 6 short stories from my own life that illustrate how I choose to tell my story. And that's an active stance I take. This is who I am. I build my own narrative as I choose, hopefully self-reflective, but food plays a big part in who I am and always has.
You'll also be speaking at the Camp Bacon Film Festival, which I didn't realize I actually had a film festival,
yeah.
Which has been promoted to include a build-your-own BLT bar and caramel-enrobed bacon popcorn. And I asked Jessica before we started the interview, does that sound good to you?
And I said, yeah. But
yeah.
It kind of brought me to one of the things that has been a conversation about food that we've taken from the South and brought up north here, where we kind of take this very simple food that is part of, you know, a whole history and a narrative and kind of commercialize it in a way that changes it. And recently there was an NPR feature on what we've done with grits. You've written about this, right? About
yeah, I mean, the kind of elaboration of grits in American culture has been going on for a long while now, and I'd argue that one of the first places I saw people outside the South treating grits seriously as an American folk food, which it is. It's not a Southern food. It happens to be a food that is beloved and eaten more often in the South. But one of the first places I ever saw people take grit seriously, if you can even say such a phrase, was at Zingerman's.
Yep.
The recognition that really great corn with integrity, ground and fresh to order, has this beautiful fluorescent aroma that speaks of the ground in which it was raised and of the women and men who raised it. I like grits with just butter. I don't cook my grits in anything but water, and I just put butter and salt and pepper on them. I love them in that very elemental way, but I'm not afraid to stew a pork chop or oxtails or something like that and serve it alongside my grits, because I like the gravy sliding into the grits.
We're talking to John T. Edge, who will be speaking at the upcoming Zingerman's Camp Bacon. And I hear such emotion and history and knowledge in what you talk about and food. Do you ever eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Sure thing. Our son's now 18, about to go off to college, but when he was about 10, we were about to go cook a pig together, and he said, "So, Daddy, are we going to have to kill this pig first?" It's like, no. We may talk about that ideal, but my reality is, you know, I buy pork shoulders and cook them on my big green egg in the backyard, and that's how our son has learned to cook pork, too. But we take seriously the narratives, we take seriously the stories, we take seriously the origins of all this food, but not so seriously that we get too boring, I hope not.
So as you go, you kind of go around the country and you talk to people and you get their stories about food. I mean, part of that is part of what you do. Has that changed how you feel about food?
That's a great
question.
Or certain
types, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, has it changed how I feel? I think it has changed me in that I'm a better listener now. When I listen to people talk to me about their passion for food, or in some cases their disgust for some food or some story that undergirds a particular food they eat, I think I hear more than I used to. I think I'm a better empathetic listener, and I've gained that empathy and that ability to listen at, you know, hundreds of tables where I've sat down and talked to people. I think that's the promise of food, is that we open up to each other. And I hope I've gotten to be a better listener over time, listening to other people.
Do you think a refined or sophisticated palate is something that you develop or you're born with?
You know, Picasso, in talking about art, talked about wanting to get back to drawing like a child and drawing playfully. And I hope my palate gets less sophisticated as I go. I hope I become a more Catholic and eater, a more wide-open eater. I think I learned to appreciate so much about food over time. And at first, maybe it was about what tastes the best. But then now I get to the point where the food clears a certain bar, and it's more about how I feel in that moment and how I feel in that space and what story I learn about the food I'm eating. That's more important to me than what tastes the best.
I love it. That's amazing.
John T. Edge coming to Ann Arbor in May for Zingerman's Camp Bacon. We can't wait to meet you and hear more about what you have to say. And thank you so much for joining us on Art and Soul here on 89.1 WEMU.
I enjoyed the conversation. Thank y'all.